Since 1992, Genesis House has been helping real people heal from addiction on their private recovery campus in beautiful Palm Beach County, Florida. Their family-owned program is accredited by the Joint Commission and offers detox and dual diagnosis treatment in a comfortable and confidential setting. At Genesis House, they focus on treating the underlying causes of addiction. Their comprehensive approach includes psychiatric care, individual and small group therapy, trauma healing techniques, and holistic care including yoga, massage, and animal-assisted therapy. After treatment, their clients enjoy the lifelong support of a nationwide network of Genesis House alumni. Call Genesis House today at 1-800-737-0933 to speak with someone who understands. Visit them on the web at www.genesishouse.net. It's time to start your journey to a long and successful recovery.
Genesis House and the Friends in Recovery podcast are proud to bring you Answering the Call, the First Responders podcast. Join your hosts as they address the real issues of first responders' health and wellness, from physical and mental health to relationships and work-life balance. Answering the Call, the First Responders podcast, is available on Facebook, Podbean, iTunes, and YouTube, as well as iHeartRadio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, here are your friends in recovery answering the call.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Answering the Call, the First Responders podcast. I am Mike Miles, the Podfather, here on a rainy, dark, dank day. And very busy lately, helping a lot of people. My schedule after I retired from the police department was very manageable. I was working about 20 hours a week. And lately, the last several months with the COVID, even though it's kind of wound down, I've just been extremely busy, seeing a lot of people, too many people. I've had to refer a lot of people out. And when I say people, I just don't mean cops and firemen and correctional officers, although that's a majority of the clients I have, but just phone calls from so many people and looking for help. Mental health, addiction, you know, they seem to go hand in hand, but sometimes you have just one or the other. But lately, it's just been an extremely busy time. Good friend of mine is a firefighter. He just went back to work today. And to give him a shout out. His name is Mike M. He's a firefighter up in Manchester, New Hampshire. He was out on an injury. He's just going back his first day back. So I wish him well. Hope he stays safe and healthy. You know, over the years, I've been to some pretty bad fires in the city of Lowell, L-O-W-E-L-L, Massachusetts. It's a mill city. We have canals. Old mill buildings that were just saturated with all kinds of oils and flammable liquids over the years. So when those mill buildings caught on fire, they were quite the sights to see. And trying to put them out, usually they'd call in other cities and towns to help. You know, I've seen fires that would go on for 7-8 hours, and you know. I think of the firefighters over the years. You know, I'm from a different generation. I started working as a policeman in 1980, retired in 2015. And now here we are, 2021, you know, firefighting equipment, responsibilities, duties have changed quite a bit, considerably, you know. In the last 15, 20 years, rescue has been a big part of the fire department. Excuse me, rescue workers, firefighters, they are trained in first aid, first responder. They go to every call for a medical emergency, including overdoses, car accidents, jaws of life situations, you know, fatalities. Years ago, it wasn't like that. You know, they would show up with the fire engine, fire ladder, you know, and rescue would be there. But firefighters have a lot more responsibilities now in this generation than they did a generation or so past, you know. And I just think it's a very, very unique job. It's a very dangerous job for sure. and it carries with it a lot of a lot of similarities to any first responder, EMS, high blood pressure, heart problems, a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, you know. And I just think it's important that firefighters get to prepare their own meals and work out. Usually they have a pretty, you know, calm environment until there is a fire, and then it's balls to the wall, so to speak, you know, and, you know, it's all systems go straight out. And that's where the heart problems come in. You know, your adrenaline goes from 0 to 60. And if you get to a situation where there's not a fire and everything calms down and subsides, you know, you still have to learn to lower your blood pressure and just to calm down. But unfortunately, the body's not made that way. And after, you know, multiple times of adrenaline being shot to through your veins and your arteries, you know, it can cause damage. It can cause a plaque buildup. And there's no mystery why firefighters have heart disease and heart problems. And a lot of them die of heart attacks at a young age. Young age could be anywhere between 40 and 60. You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. The average life expectancy of a white male is about 78 and a half right now, 78 years, 6 months. And for firefighters, cops, correctional officers, it's about 59 years old, 60 years old. Pretty sad, you know, almost a 19 year difference. Not all firefighters, not all cops, not all correctional officers, but a big majority of them. A lot of the ones I've known, you know. We had a woman that worked for the Lowell Police Department for over 50 years. Her name was Georgia Themelis. Georgia passed away this past week. Her funeral service is tomorrow. I just want to talk about her a little bit. She was the detail secretary, I guess she was called back in the day, and she would give out the details. She was a class act, the most dedicated, hardest working person I ever met. She made Cal Ripken look like a piker. She never missed a day of work in her 50 years. She was never late. She was always on time. Through blizzards, storms, she was just an impeccable, hardworking, lovely, lovely woman. She was like family to many of us. She would call early in the morning and give you a detail, and it was like talking to your mother or your grandmothers. All your honey should know your kids, should know their names, should buy gifts. You know, I'm talking about back then, 150 cops, you know, and maybe 90% of them, 80% of them worked details. And she knew everybody. She was a lovely, lovely woman. And she'll be missed. She retired several years ago. And I know where she will be buried because I've been to her husband's grave with her. I took her to her husband's grave a few times to put flowers down. So I will be attending her services tomorrow at the Drake Funeral Home and then at the Greek Orthodox Church in Drake, Massachusetts. And she'll be buried in Lowell, Lowell Cemetery. It's a very difficult time when you lose somebody that you admired and cared for and really respected. She was just one in a million, always in a good mood, very smart woman, very proper, just very, very pleasant, very, very wonderful woman. One in a million, no doubt about it. So, Georgia Themelis, I'll be saying prayers for you tonight, and God rest your soul. And I just wanted to mention that. You know, being a police officer, correctional officer, firefighter, an EMS worker. You meet a lot of people throughout the city that you work in or the town, you know. And it's just amazing how quick your career goes by, quickly the career goes by. I remember when I first came on the job, an old police officer named Paul Spillane told me to be kind to elderly people and small children and enjoy this career, Mike, he said, because it goes by so fast. And he was on his 40th year. He was just about ready to retire. And I think he lived to be about 71. He retired at 65. And I thought back then when he was telling me that, you know, yeah, he's an old man telling me how quick it's going to go by. But I look back now and it really did go by like a blink of an eye. It's just amazing. You know, I don't miss the job as people think, you know, you miss the authority or being a cop. And I don't miss that at all. I don't miss any aspect of it at all. The camaraderie, I still have friends that have retired and I'm friends with. I do have a lot of respect for the newer cops out there right now. I have a ton of respect for them. I have a ton of respect for the correctional officers that work at the Middlesex County Sheriff's Department, where I once worked as a correctional officer and as a EAP, employee assistance professional. It's a tough job. Big turnover in corrections right now. Big turnover in a lot of law enforcement positions. I think it has a lot to do with the politics of the nation, society, what's going on, people's impression of police officers and what the media does, you know, when there is a situation that involves a police officer who was wrong. You know, they paint a broad brush. They paint us all with a broad brush, and not fair at all. You know, not fair. There's a lot of good police officers out there. Most of them, you don't get this job by being somebody who's, you know, mean spirited, cruel. You got to have some empathy. You got to have some understanding of society. You know, we're just a mirror image of society. That's all we are. And I'm not saying there's not bad people in any profession. There certainly are. I mean, that's just human nature. But I think I know the majority of police officers, correctional officers I work with had a lot of great qualities, a lot of understanding. You know, working at a jail was a very difficult job. I did it for 14 months when I got out of the Army. And I have close friends that have been there 30 years, over 30 years, still working, and I communicate with them quite frequently. And there are a lot of good programs in jails right now for inmates, you know, especially inmates with a drug addiction. You know, I think society finally is starting to step up. There was just a huge lawsuit against a pharmaceutical company and $4.3 billion, I believe. And a lot of that money hopefully goes to getting the people that are addicted to opioids and other drugs the help they need. You know, just getting detoxed from a drug or alcohol, you know, it's not the answer. You need long-term care. You know, you need aftercare. You need individual care, you know, for maybe a year. I'd say at least a year, you know, to get your life back to a cycle where it's normal not to be thinking of doing drugs, you know. It's a physical, addiction is a physical, mental, spiritual disease, you know. It gets you physically, mentally for sure, and spiritually. I'm not talking religion. I'm just talking about any belief you might have in, you know, a higher power. But to get well in 30 days in a treatment facility and get out and go about your business just doesn't work that way. This podcast, Answering the Call, isn't about so much about addiction as Friends in Recovery is, but mental health goes hand in hand with addiction, I believe. There are plenty of people that suffer from mental health maladies that are in law enforcement, that are in firefighting, corrections, EMS, because it is a very stressful job. And you see things that normal people wouldn't see, you know, see a lot of carnage, a lot of death, bad car accidents, bad fires, just suicides, murders, you know. It's not your typical job. And it takes certain people to be able to function, get through an 8-hour shift, and go home, and be a father or a mother or a significant other, you know, and just try to live a good life. our normal life. And if you're suffering out there from stress, from anxiety, from post-traumatic stress, they no longer label it a disorder. It's just a symptom. And anybody can have it. You know, and let me just give you what the symptoms are, you know, for post-traumatic stress. You know, constantly thinking of the incident, having dreams of it, not being yourself because of an incident, not being able to get through the day without having it kind of alter your life. You know, you could be on a life cycle working out or going for a run, and all of a sudden you're thinking about, you know, what you saw or bad accident you were at or somebody that died. And it's all right. Your mind's processing something that's so obscure, so abnormal to your psyche that basically it needs to keep going back and, you know, be processed. And it's all right to do that. You know, you can Google post-traumatic stress and also Google methods to help. If you have any questions, feel free to call me. I am a clinical social worker. Mental health. I'm a licensed alcohol drug counselor. And my phone number is 978-746-1717. And my email is Mike Miles, MSW, M as in Mike, S as in Sam, W as in whiskey, at gmail.com. You can either email me or call me at 978-746-1717. I'd be more than glad to help you find somebody that can help you or just answer questions. I miss my buddy, Jersey Ed. I just spoke with him before the podcast. He's going to be doing the Friends in Recovery podcast. We're hoping to get together in the next several weeks and do a podcast from the car, the old Cadillac, and smoke a cigar and shoot the breeze. Trying to keep this podcast going is very important. It's very important to me. It's very important to Ed and the people that he works with down at Genesis House. It's important to, you know, our former sponsor, FirstNet, built by AT&T, I'm sure, you know. We are here to help people. There are many, many podcasts out there. There are many. And there's a lot of good ones, too. SoberPod is, without a doubt, probably one of the best podcasts for sobriety. They break things down. They have been at it a long time. They're all very professional, witty, you know, they have a lot of charisma, and they do a great job. We feel honored to have Carl and edit our podcast and help us. Him and Ed are very good friends, and they speak frequently. Probably drives Carl crazy, but we love Jersey Ed. We are here to help. We're not here to pat ourselves on the back or make us be something we're not. We're just regular people. You know, I really, really like helping people. I'm 67 years old. I hope I do this another 10 years. I hope I still have the faculties and the mental capacity to be able to continue to work in my office in Chelmsford. I also work at a place called Crossroads up in Salem for about 12 hours a week. And that's an IOP program. And I do group therapy. We do couple of AA meetings, one step meeting, one regular meeting, and I just love the patients, the other staff. It's what I do, you know. And you know, I do make money. I'm not going to say not everything's done for nothing, but I could do other things and make a heck of a lot more money if I wanted to. But I'm very comfortable doing what I'm doing. I have my own issues sometimes. I get angry, frustrated. You know, there's an acronym, HALT, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And I got to tell you, when I'm hungry, I'm a miserable bear. I'm not a good person to be around. I lose my temper. Not all the time, but if I go a day without eating much and I decide to eat, leave me alone. Don't be around me for at least 10 minutes into the meal because I'm miserable and it's scary, you know. Anger comes sometimes out of nowhere, frustration. I don't like it. know, lonely. I'm never lonely. I always have somebody in my life. I communicate with my children, my wife, my friends. You know, I communicate all day long. So I'm not, I'm never lonely. Tired? Not lately. I've been getting some great sleep these last 6 months. You know, I go to bed around 9:30 and I get up at 5 in the morning. That's a good night's sleep. So, but the hungry and the angry part, I got to work on. So if you're out there and you find yourself getting frustrated, getting angry, you know, think of HALT. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. You know, don't be afraid to look in Google mental health. You can look for specific too, you know, therapists that help correctional officers, therapists that help police officers. There's a lot more than you realize. And if you have trouble, again, 978-746-1717. I will definitely get back to you, give you some advice, and I'll help you search for somebody that can help you. So to all my brother and sister officers, correctional officers, firefighters, Jake's, correctional officers, EMS workers, you know what? It's a tough job. We need you. We want you. We love you. We want to be there to help you so you can end your career like I have with a pension. For 6 years, I've been getting a pension, a check in the mail once a month. It's nice. I got to be honest. It was what I wanted when I first started. But unfortunately, not everybody gets the pension. You know, the 80% in Massachusetts, you need to have worked 31 years and be 55 years of age. Those are magic numbers. Not everybody makes it. I hate to say it. Health-wise, mental health-wise, you got to take care of yourself. And we're here to help. So have a nice week. God bless everyone. And this is the Podfather. Stay safe.
That concludes this episode of Answering the Call, the First Responders Podcast. Thanks to Genesis House for supporting those on the path to recovery and keeping this valuable resource free for all our friends in recovery. Follow us on Facebook for past shows and updates, and enjoy free access to twice daily support meetings. Brought to you by Genesis House and the Friends in Recovery.